Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of Introduction to Congenital Heart Disease, found under the cardiovascular section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A two-month-old child is brought to the pediatrician for poor feeding and tachypnea. The mom also reports that she seems to have difficulty gaining weight. On physical exam, she has a harsh pansystolic murmur with a thrill on the left lower sternal border. During feeding, the physician observes increased work of breathing and tachypnea. This is a case of a ventricular septal defect. The diagnosis of a congenital heart disease is typically made by the first few months of life. An absence of a murmur does not exclude congenital heart disease. Associated conditions include chromosomal abnormalities, such as trisomies, Marfan syndrome, DeGeorge syndrome, and teratogen exposures, such as alcohol and rubella. The clinical definition of a right-to-left shunt is a congenital heart disease resulting in shunting of blood from the right heart to the left heart. The five T's of right-to-left shunts include truncus arteriosus, transposition of the great vessels, tricuspid atresia, tetralogy of Fallot, and total anomalous pulmonary venous return. The Ebstein anomaly is also a right-to-left shunt. The presentation includes early cyanosis, resulting in blue babies right after birth. Some patients require maintenance of the patent ductus arteriosus and surgical treatment. The clinical definition of a left-to-right shunt is a congenital heart disease resulting in shunting of blood from the left heart to the right heart. Diseases in this category include ventricular septal defect, atrial septal defect, patent ductus arteriosus, and coarctation of the aorta. Presentation includes acyanotic babies at birth as oxygenated blood remains in circulation. Cyanosis may occur later on in life. Most patients are asymptomatic. Larger defects that cause cyanosis may require surgical correction. Complications include Eisenmenger syndrome, which results from uncorrected left-to-right shunting, causing pulmonary arterial hypertension and right ventricular hypertrophy. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to our introduction to congenital heart disease, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A four-year-old boy is brought to a pediatrician by his parents to establish care. The patient's family recently immigrated from Uganda and were unable to bring comprehensive health records. However, they do remember being told that the patient had an abnormal heart sound. The history reveals no other significant past medical history. The patient's parents are very sure that the patient is up to date on his vaccinations. His temperature is 98.6 Fahrenheit, blood pressure is 105 over 65, pulse is 110 per minute, respirations are 24 per minute, and oxygen saturation is 99% on room air. Cardiac auscultation reveals a harsh holosystolic murmur, best heard at the left lower sternal border, that is a grade 3 out of 6 in intensity. The murmur becomes louder with hand grip and softer when the patient is standing. The rest of the examination is unremarkable. Which of the following is the most likely cause of this patient's murmur? Choice 1, atrial septal defect. Choice 2, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Choice 3, rheumatic mitral valve stenosis. Choice 4, still murmur. Choice 5, ventricular septal defect. The correct answer is choice 5, ventricular septal defect. This patient with a harsh holosystolic murmur, best heard at the left lower sternal border, most likely has a ventricular septal defect. This is further supported by the increase in the intensity of the murmur with increased afterload and a decrease in intensity of the murmur with decreased preload. Isolated ventricular heart defects are one of the most common congenital heart lesions, occurring in approximately 0.4% of live births. VSDs may occur at any of the three anatomic components of the interventricular septum: the septum of the atrioventricular canal, the muscular septum, and the distal conal septum. VSDs typically lead to left-to-right shunting in postnatal life. Small defects are generally asymptomatic. However, larger defects can lead to right-sided volume overload and pulmonary congestion, as well as increased left ventricular output and increased systemic vascular resistance. Small VSDs typically present with an asymptomatic murmur. By contrast, the murmurs of large VSDs are generally softer. However, these patients will typically present with signs of heart failure due to an increased demand on the heart. The murmur of a small VSD is classically described as a harsh holosystolic murmur, best heard at the left lower sternal border, that is 2 to 3 out of 6 in intensity. Increasing afterload, such as with a hand grip maneuver, increases left to right shunting and thus increases the intensity of the murmur. Increasing preload, such as by squatting, also increases left-to-right shunting and murmur intensity. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1, an atrial septal defect produces a mid-systolic crescendo-decrescendo murmur best heard at the left upper sternal border. A wide, fixed, split S2 can also often be heard with ASDs. Choice 2, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy leads to a dynamic left ventricular outflow tract obstruction and a mid-systolic crescendo-decrescendo murmur best heard at the left lower sternal border. The murmur of HOCM becomes louder with decreased venous return and softer with increased systemic vascular resistance. Choice 3. A still murmur is a benign low-pitched systolic ejection murmur best heard at the left lower sternal border and the apex. It is best auscultated with the bell of the stethoscope and is loudest when the patient is supine. Still murmurs generally disappear by adolescence. Choice 4. Rheumatic mitral valve stenosis leads to a low-pitched decrescendo diastolic murmur, best heard at the apex, accompanied by an opening snap after S2. The murmur of mitral valve stenosis usually gets louder with increased venous return and is unchanged by increased afterload. Finally, a bullet summary. Ventricular septal defects produce a harsh holosystolic murmur, best heard at the left lower sternal border, that becomes louder with increased venous return and increased afterload. That's all for this introduction to congenital heart disease. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.